Well, it is good to welcome you here. The baptistry pool is ready. Okay, so Theo, you'll be pleased to hear. Christy, you'll be pleased to hear. It is warm. The heater's been in. I've checked it out this morning already. The LED lights are working. They're going to flash as you come up. The wave machine is going to go. So if you're in the splash zone in the first two... No, I'm just kidding. There's no LED lights. There's no wave machine. But it is warm. So that's kind of like the main thing. Baptism is symbolic, isn't it, in lots of ways. It's symbolic of so many different things. We see symbols in life everywhere which speak to us of something bigger. You look at the symbol and you go, yeah, that shows me and tells me of something else. So I thought we'd start off with a little game. You want to play a game?
Yeah.
Good. We're going to play a game. I'm going to put some symbols on the screen. This is where it's all going to work absolutely smoothly. So either you're going to see England lifting the World Cup in 2019 cricket, or you're going to see an orange screen, which is good because it is the right screen. I'm going to put some symbols on the screen, and you just got to shout out what this symbol is. Now, they start off incredibly easy. Then you get really smug and think you're really intelligent, and then they get harder. Okay, so, and then it's like we wheedle out some of who knows what. So are you ready for the first one? Okay, let's see if this is all going to work. So, first one, just shout out as soon as you know what it is.
Nike.
Is it Nike or Nike? Oh, there's division in the room already, yeah. Okay, so here we go. Next one. You want to know what this is? Batman. Yes, it's Batman. There we are. Next one. Olympics. You're all feeling really intelligent now. You're getting all the answers right, yeah. Olympics, they will get harder, slightly harder. Now, where we go. Next one. Bluetooth, slightly less voices shouting out that one. Some people thinking, oh, hang on, what's that one? Yeah, Bluetooth, you got it. Next one. Monsters, Inc. Loads of you knew that one. Like, clearly really popular. Monsters, Inc. Yeah. Okay, we got a few more. Okay. Power on, power. We had some people from Northern Ireland this morning. Jamie, come on, shout out. How do you say this properly? Purr. That's how you say it. Jamie, we had Daniel Cameron and his sister this morning giving us the proper purr. Jamie representing this morning, yes. Power on, off. Okay, I think it's at this point they start to get a bit harder. Okay, you ready? Next one. Who's someone said it? There, in clever people at the top there. It's apparently, it means integral, okay? I have no idea what that means. I just found it on a Google search for images. So I don't know what it means, but apparently it's something to do with maths. Is that right? Yeah, some people are nodding. Other people are like, what on earth does that mean? If you thought you were really clever with Nike and Monsters, Inc., now you're going, what on earth is that? Okay, last one. You ready? What's that? I think I've got the right answer there. Apparently it is a... court arrest. I was looking at it thinking, did anyone get full marks? Anyone get full marks on that?
No.
Oh, only the people who are in the first service. Okay, so that doesn't count. You don't count up there on the tech team. So Ross Chisholm got full marks in the first service, but no one in the second service got more. Okay, well, there we are. We can all bow down to Ross Chisholm and say how good he is. So symbols. Baptism is a symbol of something more than what it just represents here this morning. It kind of points to something big. In fact, it's actually more than symbolic. It is deeply spiritually significant. It's more than just a symbol, but it's less than salvation. It's more than symbolic, but it's less than salvation. What I mean by that is this, is you don't get saved as you go into the water. It's not like Theo and Christy, they're not Christians at the moment, they're not Christians, but when they come up out of the water, that's the moment they become a Christian. That's not how it works, okay? It's not salvation, it's not the water that saves you. Who is it that saves you? The Sunday school answer. Everyone knows the answer is Jesus. It's Jesus that saves you, but it's the water which points to that in a bigger way. And I want to talk about three ways in which baptism points us towards Jesus, points us towards something symbolic, more than, bigger than just the water that it is. And I want to talk this morning about freedom, about forgiveness, and about a future hope. Freedom, forgiveness, and a future hope. But let me pray as we start. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you yourself were baptized, not because you needed forgiveness, but because you wanted to demonstrate to us the way we should follow. Lord, I want to pray this morning as we look at your word, as we look at various scriptures which speak of the wonderful truth of your gospel, the wonderful message of who you are and what you've done. Jesus, I pray you would stir our hearts and speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit and through your spoken word. Would you speak to us and minister to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, baptism points towards freedom. And you're kind of thinking, water, freedom, how on earth does that work? But in order to understand that, you need to go right back to the start of the Bible. In fact, the second book of the Bible and the book of Exodus. And in the book of Exodus, you have the people of Israel, God's people, and they're not free at all. In fact, they are enslaved under Pharaoh and the might of the Egyptian Empire. They are enslaved and there is no way out. They can't get out on their own. They can't make their own way out. They can't break free themselves. They need God to bring someone from the outside to do something miraculous and incredible that they might become free. And God does that. He does it through blood and he does it through water. He does it through blood, first of all, because the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb, is slaughtered and the blood of the lamb is put on the doorposts. And the curse of death, therefore, passes over the Israelites and onto someone else. It passes over them and onto someone else, the curse of death. And so they are saved by blood, but then they're saved secondly, or set free secondly, through water. Because if you remember the story, if you've seen Prince of Egypt, they start to make their way away from Pharaoh. So behind them lays slavery, ahead of them is freedom. And they come to a body of water, the Red Sea. And Pharaoh changes his mind. His heart is hard, if you remember the story. And he said, no, I want my slaves back. And so he wants to go and get them. And the Israelites in this moment, they need God a second time. Because behind them, the Egyptian army, a life... Can someone just open the front door for that lady trying to get in? Thank you very much. There's slavery behind them. And ahead of them is freedom. But to get to the freedom, they need to pass through the waters of the Red Sea. And as they pass through the waters of the Red Sea, God miraculously parts them. They go through the waters, and they go through the waters into freedom. And you see, it's a picture of baptism. Once we were slaves to sin, but now we are free in Jesus' name. As we walk through the waters of baptism, just as they walked through the waters of the Red Sea. It says this in Romans chapter 6. In fact, if you want to like go and do a bit more study on this, just go and read Romans chapter 6 in your own time. Get it open, read it, study it, ask God's Spirit to speak to you. But Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says this, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. It's saying this, it's saying that previously you had the master in your life, you were a slave to sin, but now you are no longer a slave to sin. Later on in the same chapter, it says this, but thanks be to God, that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. In other words, you've chosen a new master. You used to have sin as a master that took over your life, but now there's a new master and his name is Jesus, and you choose to follow him instead. That we've been set free from slavery into freedom through the waters of baptism, just as the waters of the Red Sea were parted. And I think some people, they think that, hang on, isn't becoming a Christian, isn't that becoming like more less free? Isn't it becoming like I have to now do all these things and follow all these laws and there's all these restrictions and I'm not allowed to do this and I can't do that and I have to go here and I can't wear that and I have to wear that and I'm not allowed to hang around with those people and I've got to hang around with those people? And just Christianity is just full of rules and laws. How on earth is that freeing? How on earth? Ever had anyone say that to you or thought that yourself maybe? But isn't society exactly the same? It has its own rules of things you should and shouldn't do and things you should and shouldn't wear. Don't wear that. Don't go out wearing that. You wouldn't be seen dead wearing those. You know, you need to wear clothes that look like this. and brands that look like this. And make sure you live in this sort of area, not that sort of area. Make sure you have a job that's like this and not a job that's like that. And make sure you are on trend with all the latest things. Make sure you've signed up and are following the right sort of people. Until they become the wrong sort of people, then you don't want to follow them anymore, because you need to follow these sort of people. And there's rules and rules and rules, and all of a sudden, you can find yourself kind of being restricted by all of these different things. It's like kind of, I need to make sure I'm saying the right things and on the right things. As you start to get a little bit older, it gets more tricky. When you get older like me, you kind of start to say, have you done the ice bucket challenge? You're like, the ice bucket challenge, Ben, that was like 7 years ago. What are you talking about? And then when you get even older still, you say things like, do you know, the kids today, when they say wicked, they don't mean wicked. They mean good and cool. Isn't that way out and crazy? Isn't that so rad that they think like that? Like, why are you talking like a teenager from 40 years ago? Like, because it's so difficult to keep on trend with all the things that are changing all the time. You see, people say Christianity has rules they have to follow. Honestly, society has rules you've got to follow. And it is exhausting trying to do it. The Bible tells us this, that it's for freedom that Jesus Christ has set you free. No longer to be enslaved again under a yoke of slavery. If my love and acceptance and value and worth and identity is found in being in and on trend with all the latest things, then I'm a slave to that. Yet if my love and sense of value and worth and identity is found in the fact that Jesus Christ came and died for me because he loves me so much, that he's forgiven me and accepted me and adopted me into his family, then I don't need to be striving and under pressure and enchained to the things of this society. I'm free and freer than I've ever been. You see, baptism points us towards freedom. Secondly, it points us towards the idea of forgiveness. And we can see this in water, can't we? The idea of being washed clean. I'm washed clean by the water. We're taking 44 teenagers away in just over a couple of weeks to our summer camp, New Day. And a few days into New Day, there's this unique aroma that just kind of starts to permeate through the camp and the marquees and the tents. And so we have to kind of stand at the front and say, right, hands up if you haven't had a shower yet. And then we realize it is the wrong thing to do to ask them to put their hand up, because there's like this emanating kind of shots of venomous poison coming out from the armpits. I said that with a bit too much feeling, didn't I? I was reliving the moment there for a minute. And we say, you need to have a shower. Go and get in the shower. And you see, sometimes we kind of get to the end of the day and we think, oh, do you know what? I think I might be all right. I think I've got away with it today. And there are some days where you, I have not got away with it today. And if you don't realize that, the people around you certainly do realize that. And they should tell you, because it's the loving thing to do. And it's like that in our lives as well, spiritually speaking. If you kind of equate the same idea to sin, there are days when, do you know what? I think I'm doing all right today. I've not punched that person who really annoyed me. I didn't do that today, my brother, my sister. I did everything my mom or dad asked me to do straight away. I got my homework in on time. I wasn't rude to the teacher. I have ticked every box. I mean, there was, you know, that one person I gossiped about a little bit, but, you know, everyone gossips about them, so what's the harm? And there's that other thing I did there where I gave that hand gesture to the guy who cut me up at the thing, but, you know, it was kind of a relatively friendly hand gesture. There's worse hand gestures I could have made. You know, I'm not that bad. I mean, and there are days, but there are other days where we know that we, almost like the stench of sin is taking over us, the guilt and the weight of it. And so the waters of baptism remind us that we have been set free and forgiven for the sin. Let's go back to God's word. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Our hearts sprinkled and cleansed, our bodies washed. 1 Peter 3:21 says this. Again, there's a bigger context here I haven't got time to go into, but it's talking about the waters of baptism. It says, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not the removal of dirt from the body. That's not why Theo and Chrissy are going into the water this morning, because they need a bath. They're going in to have the hearts cleansed, or to have the reminder of their hearts being cleansed because of Jesus Christ. And then if you just expand this idea of the gospel, Titus 3:3-7 speaks about this whole idea of the gospel, kind of puts it all into one beautifully written piece of God's word for us. And right in the middle, you kind of see at the heart of it, this idea of being washed clean of sin. Titus 3:3-7, at one time we too were foolish and disobedient and deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. And I think sometimes we can look at that and go, yeah, I see that in people around me. I see foolishness and disobedience. I see people who are being deceived and people who are deceiving. I see all kinds of passions and pleasures that are enslaving people, and I see people hating one another, and I feel being hated myself, and I see it in people around me, and at times, if I'm honest, I see it in myself. I know that I can be like that. Thankfully, the passage doesn't end there. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Theo and Christian not getting baptized this morning because of the righteous things that they have done. They've not reached baptism level, kind of level up. No, no, they're doing this because they've recognized God's grace and God's mercy in their life because of what he has done. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs. That's the promise of adoption, having the hope of eternal life. Isn't it a wonderful gospel message? It's a wonderful message, isn't it? You know, sometimes I think, I don't know if you've ever been in this scenario where you know you've done something wrong, to upset someone, to annoy them. You know you're at fault. I mean, like, there's no question about it. You're the one at fault. And then you've kind of got to go see them. It might be a boss, it might be a friend, a neighbor, a parent, whoever. You've got to kind of go and see them, and you kind of, in the back of your mind, there's this anxiety, isn't there? There's this knot in your stomach at times when you're going, when I go and see them, what's the reaction to me going to be like? Are they going to still be really annoyed? Are they going to be holding this over me? Are they just going to slyly drop into the conversation? Am I going to still feel the weight of the guilt of what I've done or not? Is it going to be okay? But I love this message here in the gospel of Jesus. Go back to that verse in Hebrews. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that I've been forgiven fully, that my sin has been washed away. And when we look at the baptistry pool, it's a reminder that my sin has been washed away entirely, that I can come before God with full assurance. It's been dealt with, finished. What did Jesus say on the cross? He said, it is finished. So I'm not going before God nervously, kind of thinking, have I done something wrong last week that he's going to hold over me? Is he going to kind of say, absolutely not answering your prayer today, you big fat sinner? Or what? You're not allowed through the doors of church today, you sinner, you dirty, rotten scoundrel, as Stuart often says. No, I come before him with full assurance, knowing that the waters of baptism symbolizing me are being washed clean. I've been forgiven. So we've looked at the idea of freedom. We looked at the idea of forgiveness. And then just finally, a future hope. Did you know that the anti-wrinkle cream industry is worth $63 billion a year. $63 billion a year. And then the global fitness industry is worth $98 billion a year. And then the vitamin and supplement industry is worth $130 billion a year. It seems that people would rather pop a pill than pop on the treadmill. But if you take all of those three things together, all of them have a 100% failure record ultimately. You can put on all the cream you like. You can go to the gym as many times as you like. You can take all the vitamins you like, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things, by the way, I don't personally think. But you can do that as much as you like, but ultimately they're going to fail you because they have a 100% failure record, ultimately. But we have, in Jesus, a future hope. A hope which is beyond the grave. The pool here, you'll notice, is shaped a little bit morbidly like a grave. Deliberately so. Because it's about dying to an old way of life and coming up in a new way of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. So just as you come up out of the waters, it's like dying to an old way of life and coming up saying, I'm leaving that old way of life behind and I'm living a new way of life with Jesus as my master. But secondly, it's not just a new life now, it's a new life forever and ever and ever. Because it points to us to the fact that Jesus, although he died and was buried, the grave could not hold him. He burst forth from the grave on the third day. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? It's been swallowed up in the victory of Jesus Christ. As he burst forth from the grave, he's pointing to the fact that just as he did it as a first fruit, which means there's a whole load more fruit to come, a guaranteed harvest. And that harvest is all those who believe in him, who put their trust in him, that we too have the hope of eternal life. So it tells us this back in Romans 6, verses 2 to 4. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. That's a new life now and an eternal life later. A new life now, set free from sin, set free from slavery, and an eternal life. Just as Jesus has been risen from the grave, we too will rise from the grave into an eternal life if we have put our trust in him. So as baptized believers, we are not saved by the water, okay? We're saved by Jesus and trust in him. The water is not magic, but it is a wonderful reminder that in the midst of life, I can look back to baptism and say, yes, I have been set free, just as the Israelites passed through those waters of the Red Sea from slavery into freedom, I've been set free. It points us to the fact that I've been forgiven, washed clean of my sin, that I might come before God with full assurance. And it points towards a future hope that the grave is not the end. If you're a baptized believer this morning, this should be sucker for your soul. This should stir you up. This should encourage you no end. This is something that you can grab hold of with both hands and say, yes, that's for me. If you're a baptized believer this morning, you can say yes. What wonderful truth. What wonderful reminders. If you're here this morning, you're a believer, but you've not yet been baptized, or you've not been baptized where you've been able to confess for yourself, where you've been able to just say, yeah, and declare for yourself, I'm choosing to follow Jesus and declare that. If you've not yet done that, then this should be a challenge to you. And an encouragement. Jesus encourages us. In fact, more than that, he commands us to be baptized if we are believers in him. Therefore, go into all the earth and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded, and I'll be with you to the very end of the age. The command is from the lips of Jesus himself to be baptized if you're a believer. And if that's you, if you're sat here this morning, you actually feel that challenge, that encouragement, then I want you to maybe speak to your life group leader. Speak to one of the pastoral team. Speak to a friend that you've come with and say, yeah, I know I need to do that. But just finally, and we're nearly there. Christy, Theo, it's nearly time, okay? Very nearly time. But just finally, if you're sat here this morning and you're not a believer, or you're not sure if you're a believer, you've been kind of thinking this, I've got all these questions about Jesus, and how can God be real if this, and there's these questions in your heart, but at the same time, God has been speaking to your soul this morning. God's been speaking to you, and you're like, I know that I need to walk in freedom, not slavery. I've been trying to follow all the things of this world, and I actually feel enslaved by it, and I want to walk in freedom. Maybe this morning, that picture of being washed clean, and you've been walking with levels of guilt and shame, and you've been carrying that in you, and it's been like a heavy burden on you, and just even me talking this morning about the idea of forgiveness, you say, yeah, I need that. Or maybe you've been sat here this morning thinking, I don't know what lies beyond the grave. But the thought of having a future hope beyond it has just done something to me. And I want to pray for you this morning. I want to lead you in a very simple prayer. It's a prayer that says, I don't want to be mastered by the things of this world anymore. I want to make Jesus my master. I want to recognize that I've been carrying things in me that I need to give over to God and receive forgiveness for. I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to pray a really simple prayer, and you can follow after me under your breath, out loud, in your head, however you want to do it. But do please pray after me if this is you. Jesus, thank you for speaking to my soul this morning. Jesus, thank you for reaching out to me. Jesus, I know that I've done things wrong, but I want to walk in forgiveness. I'm sorry for the things I've done, and I give them to you now. And in exchange, I receive your forgiveness. I receive your mercy. I receive your grace. Thank you, Jesus. I want to make you the master of my life. I don't want to be mastered by anything else. Help me walk in freedom as I give myself to you. Amen. Amen. Well, if you did pray that prayer this morning and you know God's been speaking to your heart, then I would love to chat to you afterwards, or there's people maybe you've come with or visiting with, and or anyone you kind of see, please do just speak to them and say, yeah, I prayed that prayer, and they'd love to tell you more about what it means and the significance of it for your life. I'm going to hand back over to Stuart.